You listen to Green Tea with Corbin Green, your Asian lifestyle podcast, straight from my living room to your listening device. Join the conversation on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Come on over for some green tea. We'll be serving you popping hot. Until next time, namaste. Hello, I'm Corbin Green, and you're listening to Green Tea, the podcast where we discuss anything and everything that may tickle your Asian fancy. With a developing segment of Heart to Heart with Corbin came a promise of me randomly selecting guests of my personal choice, which I hope will be your favorites too. And I never really disappoint. I've been delivering, haven't I? So tonight I'm in company of my personal favorite, one of my favorite people here in China. I'm joined by my friend, Tabby Shenge, teacher, influencer, YouTube extraordinaire. That's my friend. Hi friend, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm so good. What's going on? I mean, we are under lockdown right now. How are you dealing with this?
So far on my side, it's actually good. Just as I want to say, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I've been looking forward to it. Now that we are currently on lockdown, it's just been crazy. You know, we're just sleeping and eating and watching TV, Netflix, and chill all the way. But yeah, it's a difficult time, if I can put it that way, because it's where you feel like you're just secluded, you're in your own space, and you can't interact with people as much as you want to. We are not going to work and stuff like that, but yeah, we do what we gotta do.
Indeed, we're just going along with it just to be okay, because mental illness is also, I don't know, an issue around this time. A lot of people are depressed, you know. So friend, how long have you been in China again? Remind me. Well, rather tell the listeners how long you've been in China and where do you come from?
Oh, I'm originally from South Africa, Joburg, and I've been in China since 2019, November. So I've been here for close to 2 years and a half.
Wow.
And yeah, I've just been here. So far, I've stayed in two cities.
You're well traveled. But then why did you come to China? Why? I mean, you could have gone to Korea, Japan, or Vietnam. Why China in particular?
Firstly, I just love traveling. That's one thing. That's one thing I've always wanted to do. But I always thought I'd always travel. I think that's one thing that we all have in common as people. We always thought we'd travel only when we have money, you know, we want to go to Maldives and stuff like that. But I guess it was my thing for traveling. And also because when I finished studying, I couldn't find anything that was...
That you could do back home, basically.
Yeah, at that time. So I was just like, okay, let me try something different. When I heard about the opportunity and they were like, you're going to be teaching kids, I love kids. What is life without children? I love kids with children. So I was like, okay, let me try doing something. Like, it was like me doing a lot of things at once. You know, I'm traveling, I'm making money, and I'm doing something I love.
It's amazing. That's actually the dream that a lot of people actually get sold when it comes to being in China, because you get to travel, teach, and make some money, and make some new friends, along the way. That is amazing. But so 2019, packed up your bags, left South Africa, came to China. What was your preconceived, you know, perceptions of China? What did you think China was before leaving home? What did you think you would see in China?
Okay, firstly, let me just say that I know it's going to sound embarrassing, but when I was still in South Africa, because I had never traveled from South Africa going anywhere outside of South Africa, I used to think China, I used to think the whole of Asia is China, you know?
Yes.
When people, because, you know, there's an opportunity to teach in Vietnam, Japan, South Korea, and stuff like that. So when an opportunity like this arrived, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, the person that told me about it, they were actually talking about South Korea. And in my mind, I don't know why, I used to think it's China, you know? And before I came here, one thing I used to think is maybe in China, everything is just the same, you know, like people from Korea, people from Japan, people from, you know,
I know what you mean. I know.
Yeah.
Me too.
They're all one person. And when I came here, I was so shocked. Because it's like, no, they even now, I've stayed here for the years that I've stayed here in, but I still can't differentiate someone from South Korea and Japan. To me, they just look like everyone from China, you know? Which was, like, that's something I never thought I would come here and see, right?
Yeah, but, so, yes?
So, yeah, that for me was just like, I expect everything to be China.
Some people come to China expecting to see people practicing, you know, kung fu everywhere else, dressed in traditional clothing and all that. And yeah, yours was very different, actually. You know, I never thought you had those thoughts, even though a lot of us have those. It's honestly. And another thing. So you came here and then you started teaching. Right. Did you start teaching at a kindergarten or a training center or a high school?
I started teaching at a training center for a year. And then I later moved to a kindergarten.
And how was the experience for you? How was the teaching system? Is it the same as the one we have in South Africa?
I don't think so. Because I work with kids, before, like, I've never taught kids in high school and older. Most students that I teach are like 7 years going down. So I look at the way I teach, the way I deliver my lessons, and know when you have to plan and how you have to make sure that whatever things that you are delivering in the classroom incorporated with games and stuff like that. I've never seen that in South Africa happening, and that was something that was totally different on my side. So now I understand, when I was being told from the beginning that the way people teach in South Africa is not the same as the way people teach in China.
Indeed.
They mean exactly that. It's not a joke. It's literally that. It's not the same. When I came here, I was like, yo, my teacher has never done that, you know, but you have to do it.
True. That's actually quite an interesting factor when it comes to teaching here, because a lot of us come here thinking we're going to teach the way that we are being taught back home, only for you to get here and you have to kind of readjust, you know, your view on teaching. So are you still working in a kindergarten?
Yeah, I'm still working in a kindergarten to my new job a few months ago, and then COVID happened, but I'm still everything is sorted. I'm part of the company now, just to get over the COVID thing.
So you land in China. Where did you live first? And then what did you think of the Chinese people when you got here? Are they the same as us? Because, I mean, people always say that South African people are warm and they're giving and they're kind and they're welcoming. What was your impression of the Chinese people? How different are they from our people back home?
So what I want to say is, firstly, when I came here, immediately when I landed at the airport, I don't know if you felt the same thing, but I felt what I felt. It was like I was in another planet, okay? The energy was just the same. The atmosphere was it was different. It was not the same. Everything, it was like, I don't know, I cannot explain that, but it was just totally different, okay? So that's when you realize, oh, actually, yeah, you've landed in a new place. And moving on from that, one thing I actually like that shocked me a lot, they have a lot of cultural differences compared to us, that I'm just like, oh, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to see that. One of the cultural shocks that I wouldn't say I have a problem with, but that I'm just like, no. The spitting.
Oh my god, indeed. No. The spitting was just the worst.
No, to me it was just like, I cannot deal with this. No, we don't do this, okay?
Bruh, like, and the spitting is too much.
Another thing is, you know how we in South Africa, we know there are Chinese people, there are Indian people, there are white people, there are mixed people, you know? And every time we see those different, every time we see people different from us, we don't make it, like, we are never shocked. It's just like, oh, okay, you know? When I came to China, I thought, because we have Chinese people back in South Africa or in Africa, and we don't get shocked when we see them. I thought it was like the same thing, you know, we all share the same sentiments. When they see me as a black person, they'll be like, oh, okay, ah, she's black, or whatever, you know.
Right.
When I got here, it was like, I don't know, I felt like I was a tourist attraction.
Cameras flashing.
Oh my God, everywhere you go, they've been taking out their phones, taking pictures of you. You don't have privacy when you come to China as a black person or a foreigner, because everyone is busy with their phone, taking pictures of you, and whether you are eating, walking, minding your business, listening to music, riding a bike, you will always have someone taking a picture of you. So when you get here to try yourself, you are Beyonce or you are Jay-Z or whoever, because you will be put in the spotlight for no reason.
You're the center of attention, you know.
Exactly. Everywhere you go, everyone is just like, oh my God. Some will want to touch your hair. Some will want to rub your skin. Some will want to look at your eyes. It's just crazy. That I did not expect. Because I was like, okay, we know them. Surely they know us.
Exactly. And then something else that also tends to happen in schools, you know, there's a child who kind of like just likes you. And then one day you're sitting and then child is sitting just right next to you. And the child starts rubbing on your black skin, you know, hoping that it comes off. Because sometimes they think that, I mean, honestly, like I've spoken to a few people and then they were like, no, this child just kept on rubbing on my arm. And I asked her, what's wrong? And then she was like, no, I'm just trying to see if this color is going to come off and then you're going to look like me, you know?
Oh my.
Yeah, that has happened too. And then there was this, has that ever happened to you?
With me, my experience has been with my hair, because I change my hair a lot. Sometimes I have braids on, sometimes I cut my hair, sometimes I grow my hair and I just leave it like as natural as possible. So, you know, kids get confused, or sometimes I wear a weave. So kids get confused, probably on a Friday, they saw me with my short hair. Then I come back on Monday and I have braids on, and they're like, oh, Yoshi, come on! Because it's like, now you have extra long hair. What happened? How did your hair just grow so long in 2 days, you know?
True.
And now you have to explain, like, no, it's my hair, but it's not really my hair. You can't even explain, because they don't even understand what you're saying.
They don't. You know? They don't.
They don't even understand what you're saying. So it's just been this mess. Like, oh my God, I don't even know how to explain. You know?
And speaking about hair, you know, I used to have dreadlocks. So I would literally find a group of aunties, whether at school or at a supermarket or something, they would actually gather around. And then they'll be talking amongst each other. Okay, then you go and try his hair. And then they'll be coming. And then if you look a bit intimidating, which I always do, you know, you'd be queuing up to pay for your groceries. And then suddenly you feel somebody tugging at your hair. Something is pulling you back. You're like, what the hell? This lady is pulling your hair back. You know, and you're like, but what is going on? What is going on? You don't even understand. And they would always touch my hair just like that. And then now I went and I cut my hair. They're like, oh my God, you look so different. Your hair is cleaner now. Because apparently in China, if you have dreadlocks, they call that dirty hair for some reason.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming. But I actually, in some way, I do see it coming, because, you know, they all have the same texture of hair. It's not like with us. You know, with us, we know, like, some people have dreadlocks, some people have afros, some people have relaxed hair.
Exactly.
Some people have short hair. They don't have that. They just have one type of hair texture.
It's weird. It's a different world. What about the food, though? What was the first thing you ate in China? Your first meal in China. What did you eat?
That week was a traumatic week for me. Firstly, I come here, but you know, with us, we eat meat, okay? Mm-hmm. You get the meat and you cook it however you want, whether it's grilled, cooked, dried, grilled, dried. But when I got here, firstly, it's hard finding those.
True.
You can find it, but it's expensive, so it's kind of hard, you know. And then you have rice. You have to eat rice every time. I honestly, no, No.
Because there's no mealy meal.
Exactly. And if you want the mealy meal, it's expensive as well. So what I did the first week is I ate KFC, believe it or not, I ate KFC for the whole week.
For the whole week.
Imagine. For the whole week. You know, at KFC, they have this twister.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I had that 2 days ago, actually.
Now, I don't even want to see the twister because it just traumatizes me. It's like, remember you came to China and you ate that, like, your daily, that was like your daily bread.
Yeah.
So, hey, yeah.
What about weird Chinese food? Something you looked at and you thought, oh my God, are they really eating this? I'm not going to eat this. What other different types of food have you eaten? Something that people would be shocked if they heard you ate. I've eaten frogs before. What have you eaten?
I've never really like gone that extra mile, you know, in terms of, because I don't know, I'm afraid of frogs. I have a phobia of frogs. So maybe because I have a very imaginative imagination, I always be like, what if the cock is gonna wake up, you know?
True.
No, I've never really like done stuff like that. But one thing I've noticed is they like cooking every part of the chicken.
Every part
of the chicken, you know, is there. And I think that's like an extreme I'd say I've gone for. Like now they have eaten every part of the chicken. Because most people are kind of, everything is cooked together, so you just take whatever you see and you put it in the mouth and shut up.
So you have never eaten anything? Like anything weird? I mean, I've eaten a lot of things.
No snake, no frog.
Wow.
No, not that I can remember. No.
I've been eating a whole lot. But anyway, I guess sometimes it depends on who you hang with. Because sometimes you'd be sitting with Chinese friends and say, no, and you know how they love saying, try this.
It's nice, culture.
Delicious, it's good for you. And I was like, okay, now this is weird, this is too much, I'm not going to eat this. And then, but then friend, have you always thought of yourself as a teacher? Did you ever one day think that you'd be a teacher? Or it just happened by default?
It's really. It just happened because I had nothing better to do.
Okay.
You know?
So.
I studied psychology, criminology back in high school.
Oh my God.
Back in varsity, and I wanted to work as a clinical psychologist or work as a forensic investigator. Oh. So when that didn't happen, I was like, okay, here's a better opportunity. But you know, sometimes I always feel like God always has better and bigger plans for me. I didn't plan on being a teacher, but now I feel like that's something I'd like to do from now on moving forward. You know? Because in as much as I would have loved to do clinical psychology, I also looked into developmental psychology, and I was like, I'd love to be probably a teacher that works with kids, and a psychologist that works with kids. Uh-huh. And I am not in the field of psychology, but I'm still doing what I love, which is kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, I didn't get to do what I wanted, exactly how I wanted to get done, but I'm still doing something like that.
I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago, and then we're talking, and then towards the end of the conversation, he was like, I think this is what we've come to know. Teaching is something we've come to know. I don't see myself doing anything else, because this has been, I don't know, we've been doing this for a long time. So If there's anything, I'd rather do my PGCE. When I go home, I'll be a teacher or a lecturer, because I don't see myself doing anything. So would you say that your experience of teaching here, have you changed your opinion on teaching as a career? Is it something that you would pursue if you were to leave and go back home?
Yes. I was actually recently in the process of taking where can I get my business done, and how long is it going to take? Can I do it online? Because I don't want to waste time. know, I fell in love with them. I don't know if I'll say teaching found me or I found teaching, but we found each other, okay? Because obviously, like how your friend said, I feel like I share the same sentiments with people there, because it's like I don't see myself doing anything and being happy. And whatever it is that I'll be doing at the time, it's not teaching. I've fallen in love with the idea of impacting an individual in a positive way and doing that whilst, you know, with everything being fun, you know. One thing that I want to say is teaching in China is not easy, but I feel like teaching in China is fun. And if you have the skills to, or if you have experience of how we've been teaching in China and you take that back home, I feel like you would enjoy it even more, because now you'd be doing that at home.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly true, on home ground,
yeah.
And all that. A lot of people, they always want to know, is teaching in China financially rewarding? Is it?
True, it is. To me, I don't see it as financially rewarding, but I see it as something that, like, it's an opportunity to financial freedom, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, I don't think there is any profession back home that, no, they are, but you would have to have a lot of years of experience in order for you to make the money that you make in control.
So true.
And another thing that I like about it is, in as much as you make this money, it's not easy money, but if you love what you do, I don't know, but for me, I fell in love with what I was doing.
It sure does, you know, on those days, you know, until they tell you do the demo, there's an event, do this, do that,
then,
do marketing.
Then it doesn't feel like easy money. That sounds like I worked for this money, okay?
And then you're like, oh my God, especially with training centers, you know, where I work, they will literally make you sweat for that money. I mean, they always do. But of course, I mean, there are days where you just hang, you're like, okay, well, we don't really do a lot here, because actually coming to my school, I realized that not every school overworks their employees, you know, because at my school, literally, we hang out for many, many hours, and we have like two classes, and then I'm like, okay, cool. And then you hear someone else saying that I've got classes from 3 all the way to 8, and I go like, oh my God, where the hell are you working? It does happen. It really does happen. And anyway, with that said, what do you wish you knew, you know, back then, before coming to China?
That it gets lonely.
Amen.
Most of the time, if not all the time, it gets lonely. Yes, you can make friends, you will make friends, you will enjoy your good time, but it gets lonely.
It sure does. I can attest
I wish someone told me that. When they were selling China to me, I wish they told me, be prepared emotionally, because
it really does get lonely. Honestly, it really
yeah.
does. That's why we drink every day.
And I feel like every opportunity that we get as foreigners is we just want to have fun to avoid feeling that void of you feel like you are alone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, true.
Because in as much as you have friends and you have all of that, yada, 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 but there is a thing that's common, you know, and missing home is bound to happen.
True. What do you miss about home?
I miss my family. That is just number one. I miss my family. I miss the food.
Oh.
I miss the vibe, the language, the people, the energy that everyone comes with, you know, mobile experience, like you speak to your family, you see your siblings, you get to annoy each other. My children go to the weekend, there's holidays, because I imagine it's going to be Easter. Most people are going to their homes to be with their grandparents and stuff like that. I miss stuff like those, you know.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Home is comfort, really. But what about, you mentioned us foreigners. We love a good turn up. What are your spots? Where do you turn up in China? Where do you go for that, I don't know, for that rough night on the town?
I've been fortunate to be placed in a city where there are a lot of foreigners. So there is an opportunity where people just gather together and they make sure that they always come up with something. They make a plan to make sure everything is just happening, you know. Each and every weekend, there's always something happening. And they have clubs just for foreigners.
Oh, yes. You guys are in Suzhou. Guy plans your parties. Gerald, right? He plans your parties.
Yeah.
At the Queen Club.
And I don't know, he never disappoints. When you are there, you feel like you are back home. I feel like that's the only time where you don't feel lonely. Because it's like, you are home, the music. We listen to Ama Piano this side. It's not good to, because we are now overseas, we don't listen to those things. No, we listen to Ama Piano, we listen to hip hop, house, we listen to Afro beats. That's where you feel like everything is just, you are home.
Yeah,
you are home away from home, you know?
It gives you that vibe. What's that festival, the one on the boat? What's it called? Jump Off. Those Jump Off events.
Yeah.
Do you go to those?
Yeah, but it depends on what the event is about or if I am available. Because sometimes you find that I already made plans and they're like, hey, aren't you like there's going to be a party? But most of the time I try to make it. That's parties that they organize, and it's actually really, really cool, you know? Quite nice. I've never been. Like I said, you always feel like you're home, away from home. I've never been.
So let's talk about your favorite things in China. Your top three favorite things in China and your top three least favorite things in China.
Okay.
Number one.
Top two.
Come again. Number one is?
Oh, number one. Safety.
Amen.
That is like the best thing to ever happen to me in China, okay?
Safety.
I don't know why. Safety to me is like, hello. And the convenience of transport.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Because everywhere you go, you can order a Didi on your phone, like Uber.
Yes.
Get a Didi. And you go to a subway station, take you to wherever you want to go. Everything is just connected to each other, you know. You can rely on public transport in China.
True.
You know, I love the convenience. And what else? It would have to be the opportunities that you get to have when you come to China. You know, opportunities don't have to only be about money. But also about people you meet. Here, not everyone is from South Africa. You meet people from all over the world. And if you make friends with those people, who knows, one day you can go and visit Australia because you met someone from Australia in China, you know? Mm-hmm. So you never know what the future holds. And I always feel like opportunities like these are the best.
They come once in a lifetime, mostly. Those are great.
Sorry?
I'm saying they come once in a lifetime, mostly.
True. Yes, and it's not, even if they come once in a lifetime, it's rare for it to come to everyone, you know? Just like, oh, it happened to you, wow. Who else do I know, you know? So it's stuff like that. And yeah.
True. And your least favorite things about China?
Oh, it has to be the cultural shock. I don't know if it's me, but honestly, there are just things that I cannot adjust to.
Yeah, true. I mean,
it's just things I cannot adjust to. Like the cultural shocks to me, every time they happen, I've been here for like 2 years, but every time they do something that shocks me, like probably I've seen it for the past 2 years, but if it happens now, I still feel like I'm seeing it for the first time.
For me, it's the spitting. It never gets old. Oh God.
Yes. They did it when I was, I think on my first day, I saw someone spitting and I was like, see, even today, if I see someone spitting, I'm just like, oh my God, not this again.
It really gets you. Mm-hmm. It really gets you.
And sometimes I think one of the least favorite things, it would have to be the language barrier, you know?
Hey.
I know it's our responsibility to learn their language, But at the same time, I'm just like, nay.
Timudon.
Why? Like, how come? Like, no. To me, that, like, honestly, I don't like that. But
so I have you learned any Chinese yet?
Jen, can I say it? I did. I just, I feel like I don't put in enough effort, but I did, yeah.
True. I mean, Chinese is just complex. It's difficult, man. Jesus. The honest truth, it's really difficult. I mean, but if you want to learn, I know. it really is. And you're lost?
Yeah.
And you're lost, yes?
What's going on? The loneliness. I am not going to forget that one. The loneliness. You go through in China. You go through and through and through.
We are going through.
Man, you know on my channel I always talk about these things because
True. Exactly. And by the way, those who are just listening, Tabby here is a YouTuber actually, so I'm going to leave the description. I will leave the link to her channel at the end, and then you guys can go and check out her content. Actually, you know, she's very entertaining, so she'll be honestly, I mean, she's talk of the town. You know, she's a YouTube girl. Tabby has a reputation in China. She's a YouTuber. Do something to her, Tabby will go and she will talk about it. She's famous for her story times on YouTube. So please do check her out. I will leave the link, you know, somewhere down there, and then you can go and check out the channel. It's very entertaining, trust me. Like, share, and subscribe, really. She's really funny. She's just something that you need on a, I don't know, like on a sad day or something. So yeah, and her content is very relatable. Friend, relationships. What are relationships like in China?
I don't like talking about that because it's depressing. That's in a funny way.
I mean, before the boyfriend, before you met the Prince Charming, talk about the frogs. You know, the frogs you kissed? Let's talk about those.
I kissed frogs, snakes, I kissed kids. Oh my god. But honestly, let me just say, I think it depends on the type of people that you meet. One thing I've noticed is in China, most people are like, they know what they are here for, right? And they focus on that. Mm-hmm. I feel like most people here are here for the money.
Yes.
And everything else is just fun, you know? But with that being said, it doesn't mean there is no love in China. I know some pretty good couples that I really love. Some of my favorite, like, couple goals, when I look at them, I'm like, I wish I find someone like...
You're like, why can't I get that? What is wrong with me?
But then sometimes I understand that, you know, there's different journeys for different people, you know, and sometimes your journey will take forever compared to another person. And it is important for you to always be cautious and be aware of why you want to be in a relationship with another person, you know, because I feel like most of the time we get in bad relationships here in China or anywhere else, anyone else out there can relate, because we are just trying to move away from the feeling of being lonely, you know? And then we're like, I don't want to be alone. If I have so and so, then it's going to be okay, you know? And then you'll find someone who is also with the same sentiments, but they're like, no, I just don't want to be in anything. Like, everyone is just playing the game here. It's either you are good in the game or you get charmed. So you
survival of the fittest, huh? Survival of the fittest.
Yes, here we are living this Darwinism, if you guys know what I mean.
Yep. Life science people. Hello, come on, where are you?
Hello. Yes, can you find your Zoom?
So would you say that chances of finding a long-term committed relationships are kind of hard?
Yes, it is hard. Do they exist? yes, they do exist. You might find something genuine and something that is good, but just know it's rare, you know. I don't know, like, me, like, with my experience, I don't know. I feel like I have a reputation of being, I don't want to say clown, but it is what it is, because I just don't take these things personal anymore, you know.
It's the story times. It's the story
exactly.
times.
Because, it is what it has been to me.
It's the story times. Let's talk about your highs, like your highlights of being in China. What have you have been your highest moments in this country, where you felt, oh my God, this is living. I'm so happy. What are those moments?
It has to be, okay, because when I left South Africa, I was 21, when I came to China. So I was still staying at home at that time. And when I came here, I don't know, like, you have your own freedom. That made me happy, okay?
Right.
Because I that's when I felt like I had my sense of, I had my sense of independence. Yes. That's where I was like, yes, I am here. I have arrived.
I'm here.
Okay. I loved that so much because I felt like this is where I was being tested. Like, are you as independent as you think you are? And yes, it's been 2 years. I haven't been home. I stay in my own apartment. I look after myself. I pay my own bills. That was like, for me, this is life. Okay.
True.
Getting to travel, you know, with your own money. When you wake up in the morning and you're just like, I feel like I want to go to the nearest city.
I want to go to Sanya.
Yes, I want to go to Sanya and do 1, 2, 3. If you have the money, you don't have to ask anyone's permission. You don't have to go with friends if you don't want to go with friends. Just go alone. You know. I think those are things that I've always cherished when I came to China, because I was like, you know, when you're back home, these are things that you lose. You're like, well, it's bound to happen. I mean, it is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you come here, it's like, wow, you know, because you are alone.
Yep. You're on your own. So, you're in charge of your own life, basically.
Exactly. Yes. So it to me, that was like, yo, I am living the soft life.
Indeed.
That felt like soft life for me.
Indeed. So what about your lowest moments in China? What happened?
I think it would have to be missing home, you know. When COVID hit and borders were closed, and it all came to us that you can go home, but you cannot come back.
Yeah.
So you are left with a difficult...
You're stuck in a difficult spot, because I want to go home, but then again, if I go home, I get to lose my job.
I lose my job. And if I stay, I am sacrificing my family. So both these things are important to you, but you need to choose what you feel like. Any decision you take from those two decisions, none of them is wrong. But again, none of them is a happy decision to make. You know? Unless you've been in China and you've accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish, even if you go home and you can't come back, it's okay. You are done with whatever it is that
And some are leaving. Some are leaving, you know, and we get so jealous, you know, because I know a couple that left, I think, in Feb, and then we kept asking, why are you leaving? Why? And they said, no, we had a 5-year plan, and we've accomplished what we set out to do, so it's not time to go home. And you go to yourself, you're like, gosh, when is it going to be my turn? When is it going to be my turn to just pack up and leave? Because, I mean, they've gone home, and they went home with a clear conscience. They've accomplished everything they've set out to do. And with that said, what were your goals when you arrived here in 2019? What did you set out to achieve?
I just wanted money and to travel, honestly. I was a kid at that time.
Yes.
So the only thing I thought about, money and travel. Look after my family, money and travel. That's all I thought about. But the more I got to grow, I realized, oh, Tabby, yes, you were a kid back then, but now it's time to get your ducks in a row. I've always been someone that wanted to invest in property. So whatever money I've been putting, at least I should direct it to that goal,
To property. Great. Yeah. Great stuff. So what kind of advice would you give to young Tabby, you know, in 2019? What would you advise yourself, you know? You just got to China, you know. If you could go back in time, or rather if you could go back, let's say like 3 years later and see what was going to happen and then go back to Tabby, what would you tell Tabby?
That you are going to meet interesting people, and you are going to meet not so interesting people. And with you meeting all of those people, you learn something. Don't take it as a joke. You know how they say we meet people for a reason or a secret.
Yeah.
The reason is it could be good, it could be bad, a season, they are here to teach you something, or they are here to show you something. It's up to you on how you see all of that, you know. So I would tell the young me at the time, like, just be a person that is extra cautious when it comes to people. And in as much as you are here to test your independence, have fun and enjoy your life, don't lose focus on
the dream, the goals.
On the goals that you come up with in the process of you being in China, you know.
Great. So what has China taught you about yourself?
That I am not an extrovert, as people have always told me.
I know that for a fact. Story time.
Sometimes I'll tell people, like, guys, I've realized something about myself. I'm very shy. And people will be like, look at you on YouTube channel. No, you don't look shy. I am a shy person. Like, I'm in between. I have my moments of wanting to be loud and out there, and everyone looks at me like, yeah, you're just this bubbly person that likes talking shit, and you know. But I have my moments where I'm like, I just want to be alone. I don't want to participate in anything. I just want to be left alone. I don't want anyone chasing up on me. I don't want you coming to my house. Leave me alone. I want to be in my house, chill, get a laptop, like be on my laptop or do whatever. Remember, we were talking about me getting a pet, you know?
Yes.
Because I feel like that is something that I would prefer associating myself with than just being out there, you know? Like, that's something that China has taught about myself, like, has taught me about myself, that I'm a very, very
extroverted.
I'm in between.
You're in between. You know? You're an omnivert.
Yes, I'm an omnivore. I'm not extra. I am not, you know. So it's that. And also the fact that I'm a strong person. I know.
True.
I'll say a go-wisha. And, you know, most of the time, I'm like, if home was next door, I'll just tell them, fuck it, me, I'm leaving, you know. Now that I have been here, I have spent all this time on my own through my trials and my tribulations. I have never given up. I just kept pushing. I have realized, damn, Jude, you are stronger than you think.
Great.
And I don't think I would have seen that if I was still back home.
Exactly, because traveling and being on your own, actually, this is where you actually have to go deeper within yourself and bring out that evil strong monster that's going to say, listen, girl, you're on your own. So you better toughen up or just be weak and get eaten. Like you said earlier on, survival of the fittest, you know.
True.
If you're going to be weak, you're going to get chowed. And that's that. Anyway, so what are your future plans? I mean, are there anything that you would still like to achieve in China, or have you already achieved your China goals with regards to your job, your relationships, your just basically, you know, like all around life in China?
Okay, so when it comes to my job, I still would like to get more experience in different fields, like within education though, you know. Ever since I've been in China, I've been teaching kids from 7 years going down, and I'd like to get an experience coming to teach at a primary school, to teach at a high school, to teach in varsity if that is possible. And, you know, like those are just different spaces, you know, unlike where I've been all the time. I've been at a kindergarten, in as much as I've taught in the training center, I've been at a kindergarten, and it's more like, oh, it's the same thing. You know, in as much as I love the atmosphere, but it's like, oh, it's the same thing. So I'd like to get more exposure in that. In terms of relationships, I'd like to meet some more interesting people. It doesn't have to be romantic relationships, because romantic kind of, they're kind of.
But, cool.
You know, friendship-wise, people from all over the world. You know, sometimes you don't have to go to Australia to understand how they are or feel their cultural experience. But if you have a friend from Australia and you, like, they teach you about it.
True about their country.
Enjoy stuff like that.
Exactly. Let's talk about fashion. What's the fashion like in China? What's the fashion like in China?
Okay, when I came here, one thing I didn't expect, I don't know, maybe it's because I look at what I like.
Yes.
Most of the time, one thing I didn't expect is most ladies love wearing how I like dressing. My sense of style is like tomboyish. I have my days of being ladylike and putting up makeup and stuff like that. But what I've also realized is, yes, there are ladies that like, you know, being feminine and stuff like that. But I was shocked at the high number, you know, or the large population of females dressing as tomboys in this clothes. And they look dope.
They really do.
Okay.
I've seen on TikTok.
they look so cool. I love that.
They really do look so cool. So then that's that. Then we've had such a fun time with my friend Tubby. And that's it for this week's installment of The Green Tea. I'm Colbin Green. You have just sipped on my green tea. Yep. Let's meet next time and let's talk more. Let's share and let's keep the conversation going. Whether you catch me on Spotify or Anchor or YouTube now. Keep the conversation going. Lovely to see you. Until next time, love, light, peace, and namaste. Yeah.